the biggest challenge, the biggest opportunity we've had is the changeover we've had with our head coaching staff. To bring in six new head coaches in 15 months or so is a big challenge, but it gives you an opportunity to bring in some new leadership and infuse some new energy and try and develop a very cohesive structure with the returning staff, but the new staff. So you know, time will tell as the team start to perform, but couldn't be more excited about the people who are here and the quality of the person, the quality of the leadership. And so really, really proud of the people we've been able to recruit to join us here.
You know, certainly anytime you take a position like this, you know that, you know, hiring is going to be part of that. But did you have any idea there'd be so much of it here in the first year?
I didn't. You know, like you said, you know it's a part of it. You know there's always that possibility. I hoped it would not be such a significant part of what we've done over the last year plus. But again, you don't always get to choose the cards you're dealt, and we played the cards that we had, and again, feel really good about the people we have here now.
Memorial Stadium renovation project is certainly a big part of what you're looking at here over the next few years. Could you just update us on where that project is and what you're really looking at doing with that facility at this point?
What we've decided to do is really develop two separate building projects. Originally, the idea, which was developed before I was here, was to house our football facilities, our offices, our meeting rooms, our locker rooms, all the team-centric spaces in the South Horseshoe, and then build a new grandstand around it. What we've realized now is that that provides some limitations, both from a space standpoint and from a budgetary standpoint. And so we've moved a different direction by creating a separate standalone football performance center, which will attach to our indoor practice facility. It'll come with a lower price tag than the original project and allow us to get exactly what we want for the football team in order to advance them toward better things. And then we'll phase in at a future date the south end zone and the east stands, the spectator pieces of the project. We'll come back to that in the future.
Finances are always a big part of the job as well. And if I recall correctly, you know, presentation you gave to faculty earlier this year had about a $6 million deficit or so for 2016. Where do you see this department at moving forward? Do you see that number coming down here in 2017?
I don't know if it'll come down in 2017. I do think it will come down very soon. I think that we've put together a sound plan financially to return the program to operating in the black, which is very important, obviously. And so we've been able to draw down on some reserves in the last year. We may need to do that again this year. But I think going forward, as the programs improve, as our attendance returns, and as other things that come with a successful athletic program start to filter their way in, we'll be in a much better place financially than we have been here in recent years.
So just to clarify, that money, was it you were able to draw that from reserves? You weren't required to do any borrowing or anything like that?
Correct.
Okay. You mentioned football and men's basketball being a big part of that revenue picture. You've got Lovie Smith in his second year as head coach, Brad Underwood in his first year as head coach. From your standpoint, what would be successful years for both of those programs?
As I think I've said in different settings, to me the question is always the same. Are we doing the things necessary to build a successful program? And that, to me, especially at this early juncture for both football and men's basketball, isn't quantified in wins and losses. I think it's, Are we putting a culture in place? Are we putting a process in place? Are we putting a recruiting emphasis in place that allows us to see a future that puts us in the position that we want to be in? And so that's the analysis we'll do with those sports and with many of our other sports.
You were able to settle the Simon Cvijanović case here this year. Moving forward, do you see that as setting any kind of a precedent for future cases? Do you think that might make it more likely that there could be some kind of a future case like that moving ahead?
I don't think it sets a precedent. I do think there's an opportunity in the future, not just at Illinois, but across the country, for increased litigation from former student athletes. I don't think that's because of Simon. I think that's just the world that we're in today. But I don't see the Simon case setting any particular precedent.
What kinds of things, you know, as a program, are you trying to do just to make sure that student athletes, you know, have the best possible experience here at the University of Illinois, and that they're, you know, not inclined, I guess, to pursue that route?
It's basically everything we do. That's a long list. We work very hard to be sure that our student athletes have an experience here that's first in class. We want them to leave here feeling like this was a life-changing experience, that they had a chance to grow and develop as people, as athletes, as students. We've put a very robust system in place around them, whether it's academic services, sports medicine, strength conditioning, mental health professionals, coaches, to be sure that they're getting the kind of resources that they need to be successful in every facet of their experience.
You were a student athlete here at the University of Illinois about 20 years ago. What's the biggest change in that experience from the time you were a student athlete to the student athlete experience now?
The biggest change, I think, has been the advent of social media. It's changed the world, and certainly has changed the experience of our student athletes. There's in two particular respects. One, they now have a microphone to speak to the world about anything that may happen to be on their mind, and the world, on the flip side, has a microphone to speak directly to them. And so there's an avenue for people to give them direct feedback, both positive and negative. It's a difficult place to be when you drop a pass. It used to be that somebody could sound off on a call-in show maybe after a game. Maybe I would listen to it, maybe I wouldn't. But now you can send a message directly to somebody and tell them that they stink. And that it has always existed for the professional athlete. There was always some personal criticism that came with being a professional that I felt was not present in college athletics, but it exists now. And then the other part is just the loss of anonymity for our student athletes because of social media. When they go into a restaurant or a bar or a library on campus, knowing that every person around them has a camera and has a platform to share pictures of what they're doing with the world, is it's hard. It's a hard microscope to live under.